The infrastructure of global communications under the sea. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. This week, a repair team is set to help restore Tonga's internet after a volcanic eruption and tsunami last month severed the country's primary communication connection to the rest of the world, a submarine cable, one of many that crisscross the floors of oceans and seas around the planet. Around 95% of global telecommunications run through fewer than 500 of these cables. In fact, if you're listening to this outside of the U.S., this episode itself has traveled along a cable or multiple cables at the bottom of the ocean to make its way to you. To unpack this technology and also how this industry works, I spoke with Alan Malden. He's a research director for Telegeography, a market research and consulting firm.
So it might be a surprise to many people, but the vast, vast majority of all international communications is traveling on fiber optic cables across land and under the ocean. So it's not going through the air and it's not going over a satellite. It's going physically over fiber.
And particularly over fiber under the sea. Can you talk about sort of the global infrastructure of these undersea cables?
Submarine cables are indeed the dominant way that all types of telecom traffic is carried between continents all over the world, whether it's a web page, a Zoom call, whatever. It's all being carried under these cables. And most countries have many different cables to provide a very resilient and robust network so that if there is damage to one cable, the data can flow then over alternate paths.
Why is it that places like Tonga just have the one major connection, but say parts of France might have something like seven?
It's economics, really. Cables are very expensive to build and operate. And given the demand requirements for Tonga, they are able to use one cable in conjunction with a satellite solution to provide a pretty good level of service.
Who builds and controls this infrastructure?
So traditionally, the primary companies that built cables were the telecom carriers, companies like Orange in France or AT&T, who would join together as part of a consortium. Increasingly, though, the biggest change in the last decade is we're seeing companies like Google and Facebook especially, who have gotten into this as well. They want to have the lowest cost per bit to send data around the world, and cables offer that.
You have people like Elon Musk investing in Starlink technology, you know, using satellites for global communication. But companies like Meta and Google are continuing to put money into the subsea cable industry. Why is that?
Satellites that are being built by Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos with his Kuiper project with Amazon, they are not trying to replace cables or do what cables do. The purpose of these systems is to provide a way to reach underserved or totally unserved parts of the world where there is no access to high-speed broadband service presently. So the capacity of something like a Starlink is in no way able to replace the capacity of what a submarine cable can offer.
Looking ahead to the future, what developments in this particular segment of global infrastructure are you the most excited about? Is there something new coming down the proverbial pipeline?
The biggest development we're seeing right now is really an investment globally to build in new paths, higher capacity paths, because the demand for data, it's not slowing. It keeps on growing. We have to constantly invest to build new cables to handle the data, but also more different paths that follow different routes because cables do tend to break all the time, all over the world. And you never usually hear about it because if there's a fault on one cable, the other cables can carry what that cable carried. And there's almost no way for a user to discern that there has been a cable fault.
That was Alan Malden of Telegeography, who I talked to via a cable running across the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And now for some related links. If, like me, you decide to go deep down the rabbit hole of the world of undersea cables, check out Telegeography's Frequently Asked Questions page. We'll have a link on our website, marketplacetech.org. Telegeography also has an interactive map on its website, so you can trace the path of information across the globe. We'll also link to a Wall Street Journal article with a detailed breakdown of the private, big tech investment going into submarine cables, and to a Reuters piece with an explanation of just what it will take to fix the damaged cable. It includes an interesting graphic showing all the layers of submarine internet cables, cables which can be as narrow as a garden hose in many places. And there's also an illustration of what the repair ship looks like. The ship on the job in Tonga, the CS Reliance, is one of just 59 vessels in operation that can lay and fix the cables that keep our world connected under the sea. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.